Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name's Taylor and today I'm joined by a runner who started her running journey from zero and aims to inspire other runners to get into running as well. She tells her inspiring story of spectating the New York City Marathon and taking a picture of the 25-mile mark and thinking to herself, that's going to be me one day. She's now about to start training for the full New York City Marathon this November, where she'll be able to make that picture come full circle. I really enjoyed this conversation and I know that you will too, so without further ado, please welcome Jessica. Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Really excited to talk to you. How's your weekend going so far?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Cool. Well, we were just chatting about it just a little bit, but you are early on in your running journey, ran a couple half marathons, have ran your first half marathon, and you're training for the New York City Marathon this year, which is incredible. So excited to break it down. But from the beginning, like, how did you get into movement? How did you get into running? Where did this all start for you?
I would say the lack of movement while I was in school kind of pushed movement, if that makes any sense. Like, I was in school when it was COVID also, but even then I was not really doing much movement. And it just, I have a lot of family members that haven't ran like official marathons, but are pretty active. And one day I was just like, let me just do it. I was seeing a lot of the running community growing on Instagram too and other social media. So kind of just did it once. The first mile was rough. I had to stop. Yeah. It was in mid-July of last year, actually, so I'm coming up to a year. It was very rough. It was not easy, and from there, I just took it, like, okay, now a mile and a half, 2 miles, and then just progressed from there.
Yeah, cool. So you were influenced by a few different people from your family, from social media. I can totally relate to that first mile. It's like, you're so excited to get out there and do it, and then that first mile really humbles you, so...
Yeah.
So where did you go from there? You started kind of slowly and were starting to build up. When did you start to really feel like, okay, this is something I want to stick with?
I started first as like Sundays for running. So I would just call that like morning runs on Sunday.
Sure.
First I would have a little brother. He would come all the time first. And then little by little, he kind of like stayed behind. But we kind of started doing just the Sunday thing, where it was like first 1 week a mile, next week 2 miles, and then it just, then I was like, oh, what if I just run like a 5K? It was just for fun. There was no like, I want this time or anything like that. And then towards the end of the summer, I was like, oh, there's a 10K around October. I remember it was around Halloween, and I was like, is that like a little too much? Am I going to do it? Like, I had self-doubt. Then I was sure. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna register. If I register, it kind of puts the pressure on me training and it puts it in my head. So I was like, I'm gonna register and not tell anybody. I did not even tell my boyfriend until like September. I was like, hey, I'm going at 10K next month. He was like, what? You're running what?
Yeah. Cool. So pretty natural progression. When you were going from like zero to 5K, when you were doing those Sunday runs, like what was keeping you motivated? If because you just mentioned like having a race on the calendar keeps you motivated. So what was keeping you motivated during that time?
I guess I like the feeling of like satisfaction. Okay, like I finished my week off or started. Some people start the week on Sunday. Some people start on Monday. But for me, it was like, okay, let me just do this for me. I needed the time. Even if it was like super hot outside and I didn't want to go do it, I really like enjoyed, I guess, the pain of it and the struggle at first. I mean, it's still, there's days that you still feel like that first time. Definitely. I think it was just nice to watch yourself like progress from one thing. You feel better every week.
And yeah.
I think that was it for me.
Yeah, running's funny like that. It's like the races hook you, but it's also just like being able to hit a new milestone every week in the beginning. It's very encouraging to see yourself get better that quickly. So then you signed up for the 10K. You said maybe you were feeling like a little bit of doubt. You were like, what did I just bite off here? So how did you kind of overcome that mindset, and what was race day like?
I kind of was just like, I like the fact that it was like right before Halloween. So it was kind of like a fun. It wasn't like anybody was super serious in that race. A lot of people had costumes. It was kind of like a nice environment. It was fall. So it wasn't like the beating sun of July when I started. So it was it was very nice. But I think I just wanted to do something where I was like, wow, like I finished that And it was something that I didn't think I was able to do a couple of months back. So I just think that like pushed me all the time. And I think looking back at now, it becomes a little harder now that you reach a certain milestone. And I think it just, I think as a runner, and I think in like life, it kind of like pushes you to like, now you want to do more or you want to do better than that. And I think the issue now is, can you do more than that? And I think that's where a lot of people like, I don't know if I reached that point yet. I don't know. I think we don't never really know when is like the max or the best thing you could do. So that's, I think that's where I'm at right now. Like seeing, I'm very new into this too. So I always say, like, I love hearing other people that like been running for years or stopped and then came back, because they just know a lot more than what you can read online. The people with actual experiences are, there's totally a lot more to listen to. That's why this podcast and, you know, other guests you had, like, I enjoy hearing that.
Yeah, it's funny. And I've learned a lot through this podcast too, just like how, you're right, how different everybody is. And like, I guess how different everybody's stories are too. There's no perfect way to get from point A to point B when it comes to running. So it's super cool to listen to other people and hear how they were able to accomplish some of these things. So, cool. So 10K day runs around. I like that you chose something around Halloween. So it took a little bit of the pressure off the actual like race environment. Did it turn out the way that you wanted? Like when you were finished, were you thinking, yep, let's do half marathon number one now? Like what was the after like for you?
I was like, I don't know how people do more than this. and I ran that one with my brother too, by the way. Mm. He was like, I'm going to do it too. Uh-huh. He's a teenager. He was like, hell no, I'm not doing none of that ever again. I mean, now he changed his mind too. But after that, I was like, no. I felt like after mile four, I was not enjoying it. I was like, I don't know how people do this. Somewhat got like not a time goal, but I had like I just wanted to do it under an hour, and I got it, but I wasn't truly focused on that. I guess I just didn't really know how to pace myself either at that point. It was very new. It's like, even now it's hard to pace yourself sometimes, but before then it was even harder. So I think I just learned from like not starting too fast, which is the biggest quote we hear. And it's still sometimes very hard to not do that.
I've heard from runners who have ran multiple marathons that's still hard for them. So that's probably something we're always going to have to like, okay, settle down. This is, you know, don't get too excited in the beginning, but it's so easy to do that. So ran the 10K, you were feeling like, okay, this isn't for me. Like that 5K maybe was a little bit more comfortable, but this is too much. Where did you go from there?
The next day I was like, I want to see what other races are around. And then it turns out there was a half marathon. I believe that was not that far. I think like 2 or 3 months after that. And I was like, what if I just do that? But then I'm like, it's gonna be like winter. Can I do that in the winter? Gotta like self-doubt with that. Then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna register. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna do it. This time I couldn't keep it secret. This time I had to text my boyfriend. I was like, hey, this is what I read. He's like, you didn't have enough for the 10K. Now you want to do more. He's like, I don't know, why are you? Why do you like the pain? I was like, I don't know either, but I want to do it. And so I signed up for it, and then I ran that. It was a 5K and a half marathon. He did the 5K, and then he did the 5K, and then I did the half marathon. So it was, at least we were like, both of us were running at some point in the same field. So that one was brutal too. That one was a little more, well, definitely more brutal based on the distance, but it was a lot. It was like rolling hills. So it was an experience for sure.
Yeah. Much different, the hilly routes than some of the flatter ones for sure. Did you follow any sort of like training plan in between the 10K and the half, or what were you doing in terms of training?
I kind of just went on the free trainings, and then I kind of like adapted to like the days that I could do it, and I moved around certain schedules and kind of went from there. I kind of picked like one that was for beginners and kind of just went around there. Pretty much I was just trying to build the mileage so I can I had to know that I could do the distance. That just what worked for me. I know that other people do it differently. Some people like they reach only up to 10 miles in their half marathon. Me, I had to know that I could do 13 before then. Because I think for me, it was just mentally, I knew it was going to get hard. But if I already knew I did it, even if it was in training, even if it was once time only, it would help me. So that's what I did.
Cool. Yeah. And then do you feel like, you know, through training, as you were learning a little bit more, like, did you ever make any adjustments throughout training as you were getting closer? Like you were just saying about running your half marathon before your actual race day. Was that a decision that you made, like, while you were training, or you had that thought from the beginning? Like, what changed?
I had the thought in the beginning, because I know that even in smaller races, like, sometimes just knowing that, okay, I could do that because I've done it before, really helps. Of course, that is different for the marathon. I did not do that for the marathon. It's too much. But that really helps, I think, for me, mentally know that I could do it. So then if it gets hard and, you know, if I don't want to continue, I know, hey, I did this before a month ago or a couple weeks ago, I could do it. Like, I can continue. And I think that really quits me, especially in the first time. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool. So then race day rolls around. And you said this was in the winter, correct? Your half marathon?
Yeah.
How different was it training? Because since you started in July, like smack in the middle of summer, how different was it training in the summer for your first 10K to training for the half in the winter?
I honestly enjoyed it more than I thought. I'm going to start soon in July, like the marathon training for November.
Yeah.
I'm a little intimidated by that heat sometimes, even like out of New York. Even today it was nicer. It was not as humid as the other days, but yeah, we'll see how that rolls around, because even, you know, that half marathon, the cold was not that bad. Like that, of course, it still takes a couple of weeks to really adjust your body to like the new temperature. But
sure,
I really enjoyed it more than I thought. It's weird because like you can go out for running for like a long time outside, but then the second I have to walk in the cold, I'm like, no, I can't do it. It's too cold. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you relate to this, but I feel like in the winter, in the summer, I'm like, I'm going to go for a run. I can get out of the house really quickly. But in the winter, it's like, okay, I know I'm going to feel good once I'm out there, but like, I'm dragging my feet for sure, like to get out the door.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's definitely the hardest part. And in the summer, I feel like the hardest part is just like you walk out and you're already almost dripping, just walking.
Right.
It's rough. Every season has its own thing.
Totally. Yeah, it takes a lot of dedication no matter like what time of year you're training in, for sure. Well, cool. Well, what was race day like for your first half marathon? Like, what miles were you feeling pretty good? Any doubt that you hit for your first like actually big race?
I was going fine up until like probably mile 8 is when a lot of people started. Some people were just quitting. They were just like, I can't do this. And it's kind of, it really like, it's kind of rough to see that in front of you, people are quitting or people just walking and stopping.
Sure.
Because then it makes me also want, like, my brain wants to do the same thing. So I think for all these races, what I've learned so far is it's really a lot of mental strength, these races, because, of course, physical too, and you have to train. But if the mental sometimes, if it's not there, it's hard to continue. It's a lot of people that I've, you know, I've talked to before too that sometimes are training very hard for something and just not their day. And that's why running is so humbling in every aspect. Like, I think, you know, it doesn't matter like somebody else's paces versus, you know, what your pace is or what you want to do. I think everyone kind of like has the same experience within their own space, if that makes any sense. Like, I spoke to somebody that was running, trying to run a sub-3 marathon, and somehow their experience was also similar to me. I was nowhere near that pace or that goal, but it's kind of nice how like the running community can come and help you in that way with their own experiences.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It is really cool how I like exactly how you put that, that somebody who's trying to run a sub-3 and somebody who's trying to, you know, run maybe something a little bit slower, like has really similar experiences. I think that's really cool and why we can kind of like rely on each other for advice, no matter what pace you're shooting for. So that's really cool. So you said for your half marathon, you were feeling like it was a mental battle at the end. What, if anything, do you kind of say to yourself in those moments where you're maybe hitting a wall or you feel like mentally you're maybe not in it?
I try to just look at something to soar at. Really, I do. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I try to be like, okay, I'm going to reach that next tree or that person over there with the sign. I kind of just try to distract myself from looking at things like my watch. Very hard sometimes to not, you know, go back and forth with the watch, kind of just distract myself by like seeing something that's there, or just keeping my brain in like, hey, I need another mile, and then or booking the race in like little hops. Because if I think about it from the beginning, the whole race, and like I'm only mile 1 of 13, it becomes hard. So I kind of just it helps a lot when, you know, I receive texts also from like family members, or like my boyfriend texting me, my headphones actually read the message, so like I don't even have to take it out, like I'm listening to
that's
it.
That's nice.
Well, it's random. Sometimes they send it at the best time, they don't even know it, like mile 10 of my first half marathon, and I'm like, okay, I need to hear that. They don't know that they send that at the best time. So I think things like that. Yeah,
that's very cool. The family support, I've talked about it a couple of times on here, but like not even just family, but just spectator support, getting texts like that, it's huge. It gives you a little like oomph in your step when you're on a run, which is super nice. Well, cool. So then, you know, what came next? I know you've ran a second half marathon. I'm not sure if that was that after your first half marathon, or was that after your first marathon?
It was after my first half marathon. I actually got into this. I'm not sure. Are you also in New York? Or I can explain how it works. If that's,
yeah,
that's better.
Yeah, if you want to, just for anybody who's not. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't originally gonna do the 9+1 for the New York City Marathon. So basically, you need to run any 9 races within a year, plus volunteer for one to qualify for the following year, basically. So I wasn't planning on doing that, because I was already thinking in my head, okay, if I want to do it, I'll probably just do the charity route. That's what I was thinking. And I actually just kind of was looking at the website, and there was the New York City half. And I obviously, since I was new to running, I didn't have the qualifying races for this year. So I just kind of did the lottery. I was not expecting anything with that. I know it's very hard to get into these things. So I kind of just, worst thing that can happen, I'm just gonna apply to it, and I'm just gonna leave it there, whatever. And then I'm like, coming out of work one day, and I'm like, I get an email, and it said, oh, you've been picked, or congratulations. I don't know what the word was, and I was like, oh, now I have to train for this.
I'm in this now.
Because I was like, wow, I think that's like a sign. I was kind of not, I didn't have any races planned, and anything, I was probably gonna focus on just smaller races again. And then I was like, oh, and I have to train for this, because I got in, you know, I want to use the opportunity that I got, that, you know, that somebody else probably wanted. So why don't I just train for it? So then I was like, hey, again, to my boyfriend, I have another half. He's like, oh my God, now you got in through this. He was like, at that point, he was like, wow. He's like, that's really extremely lucky. So now I have to train for that. I trained for that. And that was a different experience than the first one. Completely different, I think, in every way. I think that one was, I had a goal in mind, and I became more like focused on like in my own like paces, and became more structured in that. But I still think that's my favorite race to this day, of my running era.
Yeah. What do you think made it stand out from the other couple races that you've done?
I think it's just the fact that I came in more prepared mentally. I knew like, okay, I did this once before. In order to achieve the goal that I wanted, I knew I had to hit certain paces at certain miles. Again, it was very hilly. This is going through bridges, so it wasn't easy, but there was a lot of spectators. So that, for me, I think the spectator part is what helped the most. It's New York City. There's a lot to see. You pass through Times Square.
That's cool.
It's my favorite so far because of that. Like, I still, in every race, I think so far, I've still tried to make space for like, you know, for like my boyfriend's there. So even though I was like seconds away from like, I needed to be at this pace and this mile, and I saw him, I think in mile 10, which is I had to keep, and I was on pace to then, and I was like, nah, I still got out, and I still like went, and I hugged them, and then I left, and he looked at me like, because I told him in the beginning, I'm like, if I do that, then I probably am not hitting my paces. I was, but I still, after that, I just continued my race and continued going. Yeah. I just think sometimes like things are, you know, you can't take it too seriously. Sometimes it's good to just, yeah. Like, if I didn't hate it because I did that, it was not going to be the end of the world. We were going to survive. And I just think it was nice, too, like, a nice gesture. Because you were standing there for a while, so.
Yeah.
I did it.
Races are you know, infinite. Like, we're always going to, as long as our bodies are healthy, we're always going to be able to run races. But I think moments like that, like, they're fewer and far between. So I totally agree. You got to, like, take advantage of those when you can, yeah, for sure. Cool. So that one was quite the experience. You said that you were a little bit more pace focused the second time around. Was there anything that you were doing in training, like, in between the first one and the second one to help yourself improve pace? Or was it just kind of like consistency between the two?
I think just like consistency. I still to this day, I haven't really added much speed workouts. I think for this marathon, that's probably something I'm going to focus on more. But I think for me, it was just maintaining like what I had built before, and I just followed another program that was just like would give me like certain mileages and certain workouts per day, and that's pretty much it. I just think naturally too, like you can get a little faster over time just with the consistency. So that's what I think happened there. It was a rough race regardless. Like, it was not easy, but I got to where what I wanted in that race. So I think ultimately it was a good day.
Yeah, totally. And when you were crossing the finish line on that one, what was the feeling like? Because I think the finish line feeling is just a cool thing to talk about anyways. But also, were you thinking marathon distance immediately after that? Or did that come a little bit later?
Honestly, I never think about the next race in the race. I don't know. Yeah. I'm always like, I don't even know why I do this to myself. I hate myself the whole way, but I like how I feel after. I don't know how to describe that. Like, I just, it's the finish line, yeah. But for some reason, I like feeling sore the next day. Like, I actually enjoy that because I feel like I put in the work, and I just feel like the result is the soreness. If that, I don't know. I just think it's just, I like that. And the finish line, I reached the finish line, I was like, oh my God, finally. The watch said what I wanted it to say, and that was all I was thinking. But then on the ride home, I was like, eh. And then I was like, yeah, I don't know if there's any like marathons anytime soon or within the next like maybe 3 or 4 months that I can try to look at. And of course, then I did the same thing I always do the next day. I was doing my research on races, and then I was like, what if it's time to do this race now?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let me see. And there was one in Jersey City. So I was like, okay, maybe that's something I can do. It gave me a little under 4 months. So I was like, I have the half marathon build right now. How much more can my body take within that time? Then that was the main question that I had. And again, I just registered, and same thing again. It's the same cycle again. First thing I say, I told this one, I was a little more scared to like say it out loud because, you know, sometimes again, like it's like the first 10K is a lot of self-doubt at the beginning. Because even though like you can run a half marathon, the marathon is its own distance. And yeah, I learned that for sure on the day and during training, really. It's a very different experience running one than the other distances that I've ran so far.
Totally. Yeah. And that seems to be a theme with you, is like kind of holding back, telling people about the races that you're signing up for. Like you were saying, a little bit of self-doubt and things like that. What do you feel like gets you over that hump? Like, what part of training are you like, all right, time to tell the world, I'm feeling much better about this. I'm going to commit to this and like actually speak it into existence a little bit.
I think it's, for me, it's just like, as I'm getting closer, I'm like, there's no way that I can keep this for any longer. So there's been, like, for the 10K, I think that took the longest to tell anybody because I was so new and all that. For the marathon, I did take a couple weeks only, really. And then I was like, hey, I'm registering for this, I'm doing this. And everybody was like, wow, like, you're going to go through there? I was like, yeah. And it was, the marathon training was very, I think that was mainly the race. The race itself, like, I've heard a lot of places, a lot of people say it's really the celebration, and I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Like, the self-doubt, I think, for a newer runner and maybe even experienced runner, is probably always going to be there to a certain degree, because on the marathon day, standing, it's like a little like imposter syndrome, I think, especially on your first marathon. You're standing around there and there's people around you that like, hey, like, it's my, like, fifth marathon, my sixth marathon, and I'm just there, like, this is my first. I was talking to the pacer, and the pacer's like, oh, how do you feel? I'm like, I'm good, I'm good. He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, have you ran Jersey before? I'm like, no. And then I was like, isn't this your first marathon? Wow, it's your first marathon. And then, I don't know, I was just like really nervous on that starting line. So it was, yeah, it was an experience for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the nerves definitely do kick in. Did you get to talk to, and I want to kind of break down training too, but like for marathon day, did you get to talk to anybody before you started besides the pacer that made you feel like a little bit more settled in, or were you kind of just trying to keep to yourself?
No, I did. So actually for the Jersey City marathon, I got contacted by the director of it through social media. They wanted to basically follow two or three people that were running races. I think they wanted to focus on one person that was their first marathon.
So that's cool.
Then they were like, okay, like we want to make sure that you feel comfortable. So then basically I got connected with another runner, and that was the runner that I kind of mentioned before that was going for the sub three. So we were both kind of like running this race with Jersey City, and then with him, I would talk a little more about like how he ran Jersey City the year before, and he was more experienced. So he would tell me, yeah, no, like you're gonna be fine. Like even the words like of wisdom, like, hey, this mile there might be this, or this mile there's not a lot of spectators. It might be a little harder in this mile. So a lot of like the questions that maybe like Google can't answer, he answered. I was like, hey, what is this gonna happen here? He kind of like broke down the whole map for me, and yeah, I went from there. Never really ran with anybody. I've been a solo runner. I am trying to get more into group running now. I think that's also one of the things that maybe like a lot of new runners feel more intimidated of going out in like, groups.
Totally.
So I guess that's something I'm working on now. I think I'm ready to get over that hump.
Yeah. Do you think it's like, for me, because I was the same way with group runs. For me, it was very pace focused. I was insecure that I was going to be the one that was left behind, or that everybody was going to be crazy fast. Is that what it was for you, or was it something different?
Yeah, I like imagine, I guess when you're like new, you just imagine all these things. And then I was like, oh, what if everybody's running like a 5 minute, 6 minute, and I'm over here like running like a normal pace. But yeah. I know that that's not true. Like it's not like that. There's different paces all over. So should be fine.
Yeah, different groups, especially in New York City, I'm sure. Like even if you found a group that maybe wasn't so pace inclusive, there's a million other ones that you can find your group for. Well, cool. So training, like what was your first hump over the half marathon distance? Like the first time you ran 14 miles or anything over 13, what was that run like for you?
I think those are the funnest ones. And mm-hmm. I think part of me misses not having that like first time again. Because it was like, oh, the first time I ran 15 miles, I was like, wow, I just did that. Like I just felt so good that, you know, I would go back always to the progress made from the first 10K all the way to the first like 15 miles. It was like huge. So it's one of those things that I think only like, the running community understands. It's like the commitment it takes to get there, you know, the times that sometimes you don't want to go run, or you don't have the time, or, you know, just life happens and you still like get to the goal. I think that's the best thing. I did encounter like a minor like knee injury during that marathon training. So I think the hardest ones, because it was like a month out. So it's really like I didn't know, like I think it was my body was just not used to like all the mileage that I was piling up, and it was definitely I think like the most stressful time during the training, because I wanted to continue doing it. I had a schedule of runs that I had to do, but it's like also like focused on like not making my knee worse, or you know, just basically just being healthy for the actual race. So that was the hardest part, I think, of the whole thing.
Yeah, that is stressful. A month before is not great timing for an injury, especially something with your knees where you can't really like push through something like that. So what, I know you said a month out, but like what mileage distance were you at when that knee injury happened?
I think it was right before like getting into I had one 20 miler that I was going to do. It was like right after I think I did 18 miles, and then it was like in between that. And then I was like, I really want to get to 20 miles. For me, I needed to do that before the marathon. I I was reading a lot of things, and a lot, I just felt comfortable with, I think, with 20, knowing that, hey, I still needed another 10K or and probably change in the marathon to run, but I just needed to get to 20. And I think I was also like stressing my mind out with, I haven't gotten to 20 and now I have this injury, and how long is this going to take before I can run or attempt to run this? And it was very stressful. I would think the brain really takes charge also with that. Like, your body really understands the stress too. Sometimes running really, you know, running helps you with that, but sometimes it can contribute to the stress too if you're really
definitely
focused on, you know, a certain race. So.
Yeah, especially if running is like your processing tool or your space where you can like work through some of this stress, and then you have something that takes that away from you. It's like you're working against yourself a little bit. It's a little scary for sure. And yeah, that timing is just brutal. Right before your final, like, if I could do this run, I would feel so much better run. That's tough timing for sure. What did you do, like, to rehab's kind of a strong word, but like what did you do to help your knee in between your like 18 miler and then when you were able to run your 20 miler?
I just tried my best to not run anywhere. It was so hard because I felt like I was, it's, you know, it's not true, but I just felt like even me not running a certain run that I had scheduled was gonna kill everything I did in the last 4 months or 3 months. And it's just, again, like the brain was just working with me. I was like, oh my God, I missed this run because of this. And reality, like, if I didn't skip some runs, I probably wouldn't have been able to run the marathon because I would have just hurt my knee worse, or I would have hurt something else. And I just try to, I was still going to the gym, but I was doing like elliptical. I was doing very light stuff. I just wanted to make sure I was still active. And then I was trying to get massages and just trying my best to like figure that out with the knee. I have not felt that pain in the knee since then, to that point that it was. So hopefully it was also like a lesson learned with like training, maybe a little bit like sleep deprived. Sometimes I would wake up really early to go to get my run in and not focus on recovery. And I think that's the main thing I learned in the marathon. You know, how much recovery do I need versus somebody else? And it's very hard when you're new, because a lot of people, some people run the mileages that go up until insane, like 80 mile weeks or 60 mile weeks, and kind of like you can't go with what somebody else's schedule is. And I learned that the hard way in marathon training. That's something I don't plan on doing this time around. I think this time I'm going to focus on what worked for me last time, maybe enhancing it to make it a better result in the marathon, but not going crazy. I think that's the main thing. Yeah, you have to listen to your own body. Like, somebody can run so much more or so much less than you, but really just about how you react.
Totally. Yeah, 100% agree. It's like everybody is so different, but when you're in the beginning, it's hard to see that, because it's like you're just working on building a foundation for yourself. Maybe next time you train for a marathon, like you said, the 80 mile weeks or 80 mile training blocks will feel okay, but while you're building your base, maybe not so much. And it's so individual for you. I think that's a great point to make. When were you actually able to run your 20 mile run before your marathon? Like, how close were you to race day?
I believe it was like 2.5 weeks, because I was supposed to already be in tapering.
But
I did that one, and after that I that's it. I was still running, but I was running really like slow paced runs and very short runs after that. I took a risk with that one too, because a lot of the people that I talked to in the running community were like, you know what, I think you reached 18, I think you should just taper all the rest of the weeks. Of course, sometimes we're stubborn and we don't listen to other people's experience. I didn't listen to that. I was like, no, I have to do my 20 mile, I have to do it. It's just something I had to do, and I did it. And after that, I was focused on just tapering and carbs after that. After that, I was not doing anything else. It worked out, at least to get to the start line and go from there.
For sure. Yeah, did you feel like, because you said like for your first half marathon, control was a big thing for you. You really wanted to run your half marathon before race day to make sure that you felt kind of good mentally. Did you feel like that 20-mile run did the same thing for you?
Not really, because I still had a whole 10K left. But I put it in my head. I was like, okay, at the beginning of the race, I was like, This is my first marathon. I'm gonna be. I already was nervous. So I remember what I said was, "Oh, I already did all the training. There's nothing more that I can do, and nothing less I can take." Like the night before, I was very nervous. I was like, "But there's nothing else that I could do. There's nothing like whatever I already did is done. Like all the work is done. All the months are done. That's it. I'm just gonna wake up the next day and do it." And I broke the race. I said, "Okay. I'm gonna run right now, 20 miler." I didn't even like in my head. I was not running a marathon up until after that. After the 20 miler, I was like, "Okay, I'm running a marathon." That's the way I was hoping my brain stay like active. It was hard because Jersey City, it was running also the half marathon at the same time. So we both started at the same time. So then you would see the finish line, and it was like, "Oh, everybody was like, because the half marathon was finishing, and you still have another whole loop." But mentally, it was hard with that part. But yeah, I think I just break the races in like segments, and it really helped. Race day, yeah, it was a lot of things didn't work the same way that I thought, but it's it really helps to break the race in segments for sure.
What did you feel like didn't go kind of the way that you expected on race day?
So starting from the beginning. It was that day, it was really cold in the beginning of the start line. This race happened in April. So in April is like give or take, you're praying for no rain. I didn't have rain. I was really lucky. I know the year before they had a lot of rain. I didn't have rain, but it's kind of April is like it could be really cold or it could be hot or it could be in the middle. So the race started at like 7:30 in the morning. Waiting in line, it was really cold. And even like I was not warmed up until like mile five. Like I felt like my arms were numb. It was really cold, and then towards the end of the race it was almost 80 degrees, so it was hard managing because I trained all winter. So now I looked at the weather, I knew it was gonna happen, but it was still hard to now have the heat and the sun in my face when the whole time I was training in like 30 degrees, 40 degrees, and a good day maybe 50. And now in mile 23 is 80 degrees.
Ah,
That
brutal.
was, yeah, it was rough. And getting into like the race itself, in terms of like going to the bathroom and stuff, for the half marathon, I never had to go to the bathroom the whole race. But for some reason, I don't know if it was the nerves or something, I had to use the bathroom in mile 8. And so that kind of triggered like my knee after that. Actually, I went to the bathroom, and there was like a 5 minute wait. So I was there in mile 8 waiting for the bathroom, and then I think stopping kind of like my knee didn't feel good starting again. So I was concerned because it's I knew I had a whole race to go, and now
Sure.
my knee is I feel like it was already acting up a little. I tried to just get that out of my head and continue. But it was something that would come and go throughout the race. It was very rough at some point because there's not it was Jersey City, so some parts of the race there's not a lot of people. There's nobody sometimes. So sometimes if my knee triggered and there was nobody there, it was rough because now you don't have like somebody with a sign there that can pull you out of that. So I think that was the roughest part. Yeah.
Yeah, that's there. Race day is always going to throw something at you. I feel like that's you can't prepare for in training. And I'm sure that was a bit scary so early on in the race to start feeling like pain. Was it the same knee pain that you were feeling through training, or was it something completely different?
It was the same knee. The pain was not as bad, but it was like still like I felt something there, and then I was like, oh, like I knew it was probably related to that, so I just tried to not think about it as much as I could. I was pacing myself, probably the best I've paced myself so far for that race. It was good. I was pacing myself good, but then after that, I kind of like try to decrease the speed just because I wanted to be more mindful that I had a lot more to go. But it was helpful to have like the signs out there with the people, or the community really came out too. So I think that really helped. I was also at some point I was like, hey, in my head I pulled that. I was just in my head like again. I was like, hey, I'm not running this race. Like it's like I am not a super religious person, but I was putting in my head at some point when the race was really rough, I was like, "Hey, God is running the race. I'm just here. Like I'm not running this. This isn't. It's not me." So then that took away a lot of the pressure from myself. I was like, "Hey, if I'm not meant to finish it, and I put it in my head too in the beginning, and I openly spoke about it too, like with family members and, you know, with close people to me, I said, hey, if I wake up tomorrow and it's just not meant for me to finish the race, then it's not meant to be. I already put all the work in. And at the end of the day, if it's not meant to happen, then I can always try again another time. But of course, I want it to happen. But sure. I kind of took the pressure away from myself that way. And when it got really rough, I was like, hey, God is running the race for me. I'm not running this right now. If I'm supposed to stop right now, then it has to be that way. And then I just, especially in mile 23, that phrase really, like, I was hearing music, but that phrase was going in my head the whole time. That mile was rough.
Yeah, just disconnecting yourself a little bit from the race. I think some people, I've heard like both, some people have to be really present, like really center themselves that I'm doing this thing, I'm racing right now, I'm doing, and then some people have to be like, I'm not here, I'm not doing this. It's funny how it's like completely opposite for some people, but like I'm of the impression, like whatever works for you, you know, whatever gets you across that finish line is totally fine. So you were saying mile 23 was rough. What made it so much rougher than some of the other miles?
Watching people get taken away by medical workers, or people just cramping up, or people were just like, I can't anymore, cramping up again, like injuries, and it's right in your face where it's like you can't even like avoid seeing it because it just comes out of nowhere. That was rough because then I didn't want to see that because I also had this knee thing that was still lingering in my head. I was like, I hope like my knee survives too, but right. more miles. But seeing people fall left and right was not helping me. I was very like nervous for my own knee. So I think that's what made it rough. I saw my boyfriend mile 19, and then after that, like the next time I was going to see him or somebody was at the end. So I knew that I was alone the rest of the time. Very little spectators in that mile, in like mile 21 to 23 for some reason in that race. Then at the end, you know, everybody else was there. But I think mentally that was the roughest race because I just didn't want to be there at that point. I was just like, I was going to finish, but I was just not enjoying it. I was in pain probably. I think the pictures that I got back represent that thing from that mile. I wasn't even trying anymore to smile. So I saw the camera. I was like, I'm not even trying to smile.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have it in me. Yeah,
yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's funny. Well, not funny, but like seeing people at the end of the race like that are really going through it. Like, it sounds like you knew I'm gonna finish this anyways, but that doesn't make it, you know, any less. It doesn't make it any easier. You're still seeing all these people who race day is not going how they expected it to go. So that, yeah, that's tough. How did you, what were the last like 2 to 3 miles like for you? Were you just like saying those mantras in your head, like you were saying, it's not me, it's God, like they're taking over? Is that all that was going through your head? Or was there anything else at the end that was coming up for you?
Oh, I completely shifted. After I got through that hump, no, I was like, all right, I'm making this. I'm getting there.
Oh,
like,
nice. Yeah.
I just went off. I went off. That's it. Even my boyfriend was tracking me. He was like, you're running now at the end. I'm like, yeah, I'm running off because I think I just want to finish this right now. Yeah. I was just like, I really was hungry too. I was like, I have to, the earliest I can eat, I'm going to eat. Like, I needed to eat. I know we were going to go out for some drinks too. That was a big motivator at the end. It was just like, I was like, no, I really want to finish this. I'm close. The faster I can get there in a healthy way, the better. So I just went off at the end. I took it in as like, hey, I have like a 5K left or less than that. And that's it. I just took it in as like, this is the end. Like, I already did so much. That's it. So, and then there was the spectators again. So of course that really helped 100%. I can't say how much the spectators really mean to people. Even if it's like most of the spectators are going to be people you don't know throughout the race. Like 99% probably is people you don't know. But they help tremendously, and having your name, because I had my name on it, like on next to my bib, it helped so much. Like, even though I had music on, I still, like, it was not that loud where people were screaming my name and things like that. I really recommend like somebody running a marathon to have. like your name there displayed, or listening to people like around you, giving high five to the kids or the random person. It really, like, those moments really stay with you. I think those are the key moments of the race for me. Like the high five to the kids, or the kids that were like, oh my God, here's a gummy bear, I had to take it. Or it's yeah. just, or like the elderly guy saying hi, just say hi back. Like it's those cute moments are the best from the race. And that really is the highlight of my marathon, in my opinion, is the key moments where you connect to the people. Or yeah. you say thank you to the people that give you the water in the stations, or because, you know, at the end of the day, they're volunteering their own time to be there and to help you. And, you know, I think just the gratitude of being there and knowing that they're there to help you, and, you know, just a quick thank you is not really going to kill anybody's time. I always say that, like, no matter what you're going through, just say thank you really quick and just run off. I think that
totally
makes them want to be there again for other runners in the future.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think that's great. Like like you were saying, we're here for ourselves. We want to run this for ourselves. They're here for us. Like they're not there for themselves. So giving back and making sure that you're showing support to the people that are showing support to you. It's great. I love that. So energy started to pick up. You were with the crowds again. Thank goodness. Jersey City probably needs to work on a little bit more crowd work in those rougher miles. But you finally were back to them. And then what did that finish line feel like for you for your first marathon?
I knew you were going to ask me this, so I already prepared this in my head. I already knew.
Perfect.
I actually do not have a fun response for you for this. Unfortunately, to everybody that's listening, it's not going to be their typical response. I actually thought about the finish line throughout all my months of training. I was like, what am I going to look like? What am I going to feel? Even when it's so funny now when I think about it. I was like, wow, on my last like longer run, I was like, I'm going to practice some of my movements that I'm going to do. Am I going to open my arms? Am I not going to open my eyes? Is my hand on my face? What am I going to do? I remember I told my boyfriend, I was like, oh my God. He's like, oh my God, you have to be attentive to all details because these are pictures.
Yeah, for sure. Like these are going to be on my social media forever, babe. I gotta get this, work this out.
Especially the first one. I was like, no, I needed to be a certain way, but none of that happened. Honestly, I reached the finish line and I did not feel anything. It was weird because I got there and for some reason, I guess your body goes through so much, I guess we can call it trauma with all those hours that it's out there.
Yeah.
I got there and I just wanted the banana and the electrolytes or the water or whatever they had, and I guess I just went numb in terms of emotions. I thought I was going to be the crier and I was going to cry there. And I remember before I was like, even through training, like I remember I would, you know, that especially the week of the marathon, I was going through all the emotions. I think I had too much emotions in that week where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to run this. I'm going to do it. And like, I really had a lot of emotions going that week that I guess I just didn't have any more left. And when it actually happened, I kind of just felt, I was just more like grateful, but I just didn't cry. I really thought I was going to cry. Even my boyfriend was like probably surprised. He was like, wow, you did not cry. I was just like, yeah, I just finished it. And then 2 weeks, it took me like, I just didn't realize what I did. It was weird that a week after, later, now that I talk about it, I'm like, yeah, I did that. Now I can talk about what happened in this mile. Now it's just, I guess I just went numb in that moment. The guy next to me, he gave me a high five, and that's pretty much all the emotion I got in the finish line. I had a very boring finish line video. It wasn't like what you see sometimes on social media, crying or like, you know, I just didn't have it. And I don't know, maybe in New York I will have it. I don't know. New York is going to be a different race. I think every race is different, but the crowd engagement I'm probably still going to take to every race I do. I think the engaging with the crowd really helped me stay energized.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm a big engager with the crowd.
That'll just be amplified in New York too. Like they're known for the crowd, so that'll be really cool. But no, it's funny because I just interviewed Travis. Trav Daddy running on Instagram, if you follow him. And he had a really similar finish line story too. So I don't think it's so out of the norm to just be so exhausted. Like you said, your body just went through so much trauma. You're tired, and then have it hit you later. Like he was saying, once he got back to his room and like once he was by himself and he had changed and showered and like was good, then it hit him. So I think that's totally, that makes total sense to me. And I was kind of similar. Like I got a little emotional, but I was so tired. I was like not processing anything. I was like smiling for pictures and like, where's the quickest route to my bed right now is all I was thinking. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in at the finish line for sure. Well, cool. So thanks for breaking that down. That's a really cool race experience. How you kind of navigated all the challenges that you faced for that day. I know we've talked about it a little bit, but you're running the New York Marathon this year. So what is changing for you as you kind of approach your next training block, training for your second marathon?
I guess, it just calms me down again, because the fact that I already ran one, it puts it in my head. Okay, I did this distance. I think, what's going to change now is, now I'm going to get a coach. Most likely going to get a coach, and I'm running through, this one is through charity. The one I'm preparing for 2025 will be through the qualifier. This one is through charity. So that's going to, in a way, force me to go out on these runs with the people that are also running through charity. So it's going to help me as a runner also meet a bunch of more people in the running community. And I'm going to get a coach. So the coach will help me navigate a new goal now. But with the goals itself, I like having goals in terms of times, but I like having them not be super strict. In the training blocks, I am strict with you know, what I'm training and what I'm doing. But in race day, if I see that at some point it's just not going to happen, then I just kind of just have fun. I don't really like to hold on too much with the time. I feel like it takes away from your experience. As of now,
totally.
This is, yeah, what I've seen. I actually, the first time I saw the New York City Marathon was, I will say 2023. Last year. It was like a distant friend, but we still went because we've never gone. I'm a New Yorker. I've always lived here. But for some reason, I've never gone to spectate the New York City Marathon. We went, and the second I got there, I was running at that point maybe a couple months into running. I think that was like, let's see, October, November. That was like right after my 10K. So I had only ran 10K distance. So I went to see, and I was like, wow, the atmosphere here is incredible. Like, I remember I took a picture, actually, that I still have on my phone, of in mile 20. We went to see her in mile 25, just turning to finish in Central Park. That turn, there's a turn there, and I took a picture, and then I was like, and I remember I told my boyfriend, I was like, I'm gonna be here next year somehow. Like, I don't have no idea how, like, I have to research stuff, but I want to be here. So I took a picture of like mile 25, and I'm like, I'm gonna be here. And then I was like, and I'm gonna find how I'm gonna be here. And then he looked at me like, again, he's at this point, I think he's just used to me coming up with the most insane things. And I was like,
yeah,
I want to be here. I'm gonna be here next year. I want to be here. I really enjoyed watching it. And I was like, I really, really want to be here. And then, so I looked into it, and then I'm going to do it with a charity that is about helping kids with staying active and finding resources with that. So I'm going to do Very it now cool. this year. The way we manifest stuff, it really works. Of course, putting work also, you have to do both. I think I'm a big sure. believer also. You have to put both. You can't manifest something and not put the work in. But the fact that picture is still there on my phone and I went back to it, it's powerful. Now, how much yes. time has passed and how I'm going to get a picture there, but now with my phone running it. It's insane. That mile from, maybe if we talk about this next year, if we do like a part two, I'm going to talk to you about how I took a picture of that mile 25.
Yes, yes. That mile. That's so cool.
Yeah. And actually, so another cool. insane part of it is the New York City Half Marathon also finished, that's mile 12. So we do run through there.
Okay.
That hit me that also hit me that moment when I turned. I was like, oh my god, I just took a picture of me running to here, and it gave me I was like, wow, I'm gonna be here soon, but now for the marathon. But I took a picture of me running there. I guess I already got a glimpse of how I felt running through there when I was manifesting that 2023. It's very powerful. The whole, and again, I think for me, the biggest thing with running is watching your own progress and watching how like you advance from one thing to another. I know that everybody's doing a whole, some people are running faster, some people are running slower, but it's still like their own moments are still just as big as somebody else. So that's what I've seen. But I really like the idea of like this podcast in general, because that when I was running my first, before, you know, actually I listened to your podcast when I was running in the week that I was going insane with my emotions. I was going to work and I was hearing, I saw somebody repost a podcast, your podcast of another guest. I don't remember which guest. And then I was like, let me download this and let me hear it. So I listened to it. And then I was like, now I feel a lot more calmer to my own race. I finally listened to you like midweek and my race was on that Sunday. And then I was like, wow, now I feel a lot better because now I'm hearing somebody else's story. And But that week I was a wreck of emotions. So the podcast helped, and hopefully this podcast helps somebody else to know that.
Totally.
You know, we all have our own experiences, but it's still somehow the same in a way.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool that you, all of that's cool. I like you totally manifested that spot with that picture, by the way. Yeah. You definitely did with your half marathon, and now you're going to be able to go back for your full. I'm excited to see like even just the clips you get from that or the picture you get from that. That's going to be so full circle for you. So like that's so exciting. But thank you for the like kind words on the podcast. That's 100% like where I was at as a runner too, is I found a lot of value in the beginning from people on just social media telling their stories over text. And I was like, if there is some way where we could get more runners like yourself all the way up to tomorrow, I'm interviewing somebody that's ran 111 marathons. Like if we can get everybody's stories together and like show the similarities and some of the differences, I think, yeah, like you said, it's going to hopefully inspire a lot of people to do the same thing. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Well, cool. So that I'm excited to see what's coming up next for the New York City Marathon. I want to kind of close with a couple questions that I've been asking at the end. Since you've listened before, you probably know what questions I'm talking about, but only disclaimer, like we've talked about, is we will encourage you to, it's your own journey, to try out your own feel, try out your own shoe options, all of that good stuff. But for you personally, like what fuel did you use throughout your trainings? What did you like? What did you not like? What did you end up sticking with?
Gels, pretty much. Gels. Uh-huh. I tried a bunch of different gels, actually. I don't know if I can say the brand. Can I say the brand?
Yeah, that's fine.
The Goo gels. So I only like the Goo gels. I've tried other ones, that, like the same brand as the Honey Stinger. That in the gel form, it was just not good for me. So I basically feel with gels. The classic for the marathon, my meal was the classic electrolyte water with banana and a bagel with cream cheese. That's what I had. But the fueling itself, what I learned the most was like how important it is to have a good like post meal recovery meal, because even if you're running less miles in your training block, that is the most important thing. And like I mentioned earlier, the sleeping and the recovery, that is something I'm going to focus on. If one night I can't get enough sleep or something's happening, I can just do my run at night or switching it for another form of running, even if it's on the treadmill, because you can't, your body at the end of the day is going to react to also how well it's resting. That's really the most important for me.
That's a good point. I don't think a lot of people's brought that up, actually. The importance of, we've talked a lot about pre-fueling and fueling while you're on the run, but the importance of recovery too is huge. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. What's your go-to like recovery meal?
I like pasta. I'm huge on pasta. Like, if it was up to me, I could probably just like live off pasta or sushi. Sushi, another one on that. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, I just probably can live on those two forever.
Yeah, anything with protein or carbs, I think you can't go wrong after a run for sure. Cool. And then what shoes do you like? Have they changed over time? Are there certain brands that you've tried out that you just were like not a fan of? What has been kind of your shoe journey through this whole thing?
The On Clouds, I'm not a fan of the On Clouds. I can say that with a big no. For me, at least I guess my shoe, or I guess the way like I run and my feet, it just doesn't work out with me. I was getting a lot of shin splints and it was just too much for me. I was using the Hoka's too. I think they're a good like running for like training, like for mid distance. I think for the marathon, the Hoka's wouldn't have given you like a blister free marathon. Now I'm more into the Asics. I ran with the Asics for my marathon. So I think the Asics are probably my favorite right now. I did get a blister, but it was a little minor blister. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I really like a lot of brands. So like the New Balance, I also use now as like when I'm on shorter runs or recovery runs. So I kind of alternate between like New Balance, Asics. So I kind of go from there with those.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. All right, sweet. Well, we already know what's coming up next for you. Is the New York City Marathon, but do you have any races that you're signed up in between that you're training for right now, or is that the big one coming up for you?
Yeah, so I am doing the 9+1 races for the
Oh, okay,
qualifiers.
cool.
So I have next week a 10K, and I believe the week after a 4 mile. So they're all really short. The next long distance for me is going to be in September, which it's a 10 miler. So I don't really
Cool.
have any. I might add another surprising half marathon in between there because I tend to do that. I'm looking already, but we'll see how I. For now, I'm enjoying just keeping like less distance. I do go for long runs too, but it's. For now, I'm enjoying the phase where I don't have to go out for a 15 miler if I don't
Yes.
want to. If I want to, then yeah, I can do it. Like last week, I went out and I wanted to do 11 miles, so I did it. But I like the freedom right now, and I'm gonna enjoy it. I have probably another month and a half left of freedom
Yeah,
before I start
you won't
again.
regret that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it's okay,
Well.
you know. Now, if I miss something or I want to run less this day, I don't put it to my head too much. I'm like, it's okay. I'm gonna
For
start
sure.
training soon for something that is gonna be probably the hardest training block that I'm gonna have so far. So,
For sure. For sure. And then part of the 9+1 is a volunteer opportunity, right? So do you have a race in mind that you plan to volunteer at?
I already signed up. These races are really hard to get into, so if you don't do it early, I was on the website looking, refreshing the page to get a volunteer opportunity. It's really hard to get into these, so I'm going to volunteer in, it's called the 10 miler. It's like a training run. It's still considered a race, but I'm going to volunteer in that one. It's only people that are registered for this year's marathon. So everybody that's
Cool.
running that one is going to run the race. So I don't know what station they're going to put me or where I'm going to be at, but I'm going to be there in
Cool.
August. So that's my
Well, if
plan.
anybody's running that race, keep an eye out for Jessica. She's going to be providing your water or something like that. That's exciting. Cool. Well, the last question I have for you is just where can we find you? If anybody wants to follow along with your journey, where can they find you?
On Instagram, I'm running RDH. So the RDH, the last three letters just stand for like my career. So I'm a registered dental hygienist. So yeah, that's pretty much it with that. I have my name there, but I just post a lot of like daily stuff. And
Yeah.
I partner up a lot with a lot of people that work in healthcare too. We all tend to use running as a way to escape sometimes. We're dealing with a
Totally.
lot of things sometimes. So that's also another reason why running really helps, I think. Running really helps me keep everything else more balanced. So yeah, that's
Yeah.
my page right there. If you want to look at some balance work and some random memes sometimes that I can post, you'll go there. Sometimes I'm motivated. It depends on the day. Sometimes I have motivations and sometimes I have funny things. And yeah, really, really positive environment there.
Yeah, I love your content. Definitely would
Yeah.
recommend giving you a follow for sure. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for coming on and telling your story. I really like that we broke down your race experience, but you also offered a lot of perspective on like some of the challenges that you faced and some things that you're gonna make adjustments for your next marathon. So just thank you again, and hope, yeah, well, I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Bye. Have a good one. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.